This is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening and welcome to our viewers in the West. In the swirl of sexual allegations that have engulfed so many prominent men following Harvey Weinstein's downfall, an anguished mother stepped before the cameras today with a head-turning claim of her own, not as a victim, but on behalf of her adult son, who she says was sexually assaulted by actor Kevin Spacey.
He says to me, "Mom, Kevin Spacey tried to rape me."
Former local TV news anchor Heather Unruh's claim, now one of several sexual misconduct accusations facing the Oscar-winning Spacey, all against the backdrop of a growing scandal sweeping the entertainment world. NBC's Kate Snow sat down with her today and has more.
I'm here not as a journalist today, but as a mom.
Heather Unruh says her son was a busboy at the Club Car restaurant on Nantucket in the summer of 2016 when he was introduced to Kevin Spacey.
He was very excited. He was texting his girlfriend. Couldn't believe he was sitting at the bar talking to Kevin Spacey.
In our interview, Unruh said her 18-year-old son told Spacey he was over 21 and Spacey bought him drinks, lots of drinks.
It wasn't until Kevin Spacey put his hand inside his pants that he really knew he was in trouble.
You say he didn't consent to that?
Absolutely not. Absolutely, there was no consent.
So it didn't just happen once?
No. And he was frozen. He just panicked.
She says Spacey was insisting her son go to a private party, but when Spacey went to the bathroom, a woman intervened.
She told him to run. And that's what he did.
She says he ran to his grandmother's and woke his sister Kyla, telling her everything.
Your phone rings?
My phone rings.
What time? Middle of the night?
Middle of the night. And he says to me, "Mom, Kevin Spacey tried to rape me." That's the hardest phone call I've ever taken.
That's a tough question, but did you want to report it?
I did.
But your son wasn't ready to do that.
He wasn't ready. He was definitely very embarrassed about it. And he was afraid. I mean, who's going to believe an 18-year-old kid?
He is still afraid, she says. Spacey's attorneys have not responded to NBC News' repeated requests for comment. The last statement a representative gave to NBC News was that Spacey was seeking treatment.
We know the truth. And the truth will come out.
Kate Snow, NBC News, Boston.
In other news tonight, the Transportation Security Administration is again under fire for failing to detect test weapons smuggled through security checkpoints at the nation's airports. It's not the first time TSA screeners have failed to find the weapons in these undercover tests. And the agency is again promising to take immediate steps to step up security just as the holiday travel season approaches. Here's NBC's Tom Costello.
The undercover tests were conducted by Homeland Security audit teams charged with probing TSA checkpoints nationwide. Yet again, sources say TSA screening officers failed to detect test weapons at a disturbingly high rate. The audit teams usually try smuggling guns, knives, and mock explosives through TSA checkpoints. In 2015, the TSA failed to detect 95% of the team's weapons. The latest failure rate said to still be unacceptably high.
We found that briefing disturbing.
On Capitol Hill today, members of Congress grilled the new TSA chief, who just provided them a classified briefing on aviation vulnerabilities.
We need to do more to confront the growing threats aimed at the aviation sector.
In a statement today, the TSA said, "We take the findings very seriously and are implementing measures that will improve screening effectiveness at checkpoints." The TSA wants the money to roll out new CAT scan type of 3D screeners that better check carry-on bags for signs of weapons.
Certainly, additional investment would make travelers, whether they're Americans or people visiting our country, safer.
9 days after the latest terror attack in New York, security experts remained concerned that ISIS is determined to strike and aviation is the crown jewel of targets.
They see individuals who have been practicing, who have been testing, and they truly believe that they have a device which could evade some of our most stringent security measures.
The TSA screens 2.5 million people every day at 450 airports. Tonight, it stresses it has a layered approach to security at the nation's airports, from TSA pre-check to checking passenger names against terror watch lists to airport police and dogs and air marshals. They call it a airport curb to cockpit approach. Lester?
Tom Costello, thank you. Tonight, the blame game is underway among Republicans in Washington after dominating victories by Democrats running away with several big races, giving the party a major boost. Some in the GOP now pointing the finger of blame at President Trump. NBC's Casey Hunt reports tonight on the fallout.
We weren't born. Democrats tonight riding high. Suburban voters propelling Ralph Northam to victory over Republican Ed Gillespie in the governor's race.
Virginia has told us to end the divisiveness.
Gillespie barely mentioned President Trump during the campaign.
I want to make sure that my vote actually expresses my disdain and disappointment with our president.
Last night, the president tweeting Gillespie lost because he, quote, did not embrace me or what I stand for. House Speaker Paul Ryan insisting his party should not be deterred.
I feel bad that he lost, but I think it simply means we got to deliver.
But Democrats all but wiped out the Republican majority in the Virginia State House, taking incumbents by surprise. Chris Hurst, he called for more gun regulation after his girlfriend was killed on live TV. And Danica Rome, who's transgender. She beat the conservative who wrote a bill that would have prohibited her from using the women's restroom. Some congressional Republicans say it's a wake-up call.
I think it's important for Republicans to self-reflect all the way, starting from the top all the way down.
Was it a referendum on Donald Trump?
I do believe so.
National Democrats are sensing a wave.
Can you win back the House next year?
The door is certainly open for us.
At least a half dozen moderate Republicans have already announced they won't run for re-election. The rest are trying to figure out whether to run with or away from the president.
Voters send a strong message, especially in Virginia, that these nativist, divisive campaigns don't work in most parts of the country.
But their national leaders tonight?
We already made that choice. We're with Trump.
Still standing by their president.
The White House tonight is downplaying last night's election results, saying that 2018 is, quote, a long ways away. But it's putting even more pressure on Republicans in Congress to show they're capable of governing as Republicans race to try to pass their tax reform plan before the end of the year. Lester.
All right, Casey, thanks. And, of course, the president watching all this from China, where he is tonight, the latest stop on his tour through Asia. But before he departed for China from South Korea, the president unleashed on North Korea, warning that regime not to test the U.S. NBC News Chief White House Correspondent Hallie Jackson is in Beijing. Hallie?
Lester, good evening to you. If there is one place in the world that has any kind of leverage over North Korea, it's right here, China. That's why this may be the most important stop for President Trump on his trip through Asia. He wants China to pressure Pyongyang by, for example, cracking down on trade or energy exports. But will he get what he wants? That's the big question. China has really been rolling out the red carpet so far, with plenty of public displays of political affection between these two leaders. At one point, President Trump showed President Xi Jinping a video of Ivanka's daughter singing in Mandarin, the grandparent-in-chief, hoping that warm personal relationship will pay off on the policy front. But President Xi is making that same calculation, setting off what could be a foreign policy face-off. In just a matter of hours here in Beijing, those critical talks between these two are set to start. Lester.
Hallie Jackson traveling with the president. Thank you, Hallie. Vice President Mike Pence is in Texas tonight offering condolences and meeting with first responders in the aftermath of the church massacre there. Meanwhile, new video shows the tense moments when police surrounded the gunman's car after he fled the church. And church members now say that just days before, he attended their fall festival with his kids. All 26 victims killed in his rampage have now been identified. Now to Capitol Hill, where current and former CEOs of Yahoo and Equifax were grilled by Congress on how hackers stole personal data on hundreds of millions of Americans from their companies. But there are still far more questions than answers. We get more from NBC's Jolene Kent.
Former Yahoo CEO Marissa Meyer at first quiet on Capitol Hill today.
What do you hope to tell Yahoo consumers out there? Should they still be confident in the Yahoo products?
But inside a Senate hearing, Congress demanding answers for two hacks that impacted all 3 billion Yahoo accounts.
I want to sincerely apologize to each and every one of our users.
One of the hacks still unsolved. The other, she says, carried out by Russia and could happen again.
I believe all companies, even the most well-defended ones, could fall victim to these crimes.
Equifax's old and new CEOs also appearing today, grilled after hackers stole critical personal information like social security numbers and birth dates of nearly 146 million American customers.
People back home cannot understand how the CEO of Equifax and the CEO of Yahoo walked away with $90 million and $27 million.
Equifax says it's now quadrupling its security budget.
We're spending significant more money in that process.
Watching closely, Katie Van Fleet, part of a class action lawsuit against Equifax. She says since the Equifax hack, her identity has been stolen 15 times.
Equifax is a big company, and they should have had the security in place to keep personal information secure.
Like so many Americans tonight, Van Fleet still worrying if her personal information is really safe. Jolene Kent, NBC News, Washington.
We've got a lot more to tell you about tonight. Fighting breast cancer, the new alert for survivors about the risk of it coming back, the question you should be asking your doctor. Also, reporting for duty, something every American is called to do, even a former commander-in-chief. We're back now with news in the fight against breast cancer, specifically in the fight against the cancer coming back, striking survivors again. Many women continue taking medicine up to 5 years after being declared cancer-free, but doctors now say that time should be doubled for some, even though the treatment can have debilitating side effects. NBC's Ann Thompson has our Keeping You Healthy report.
Breast cancer hasn't stopped Melita Keith's active life. Diagnosed 3 years ago, the mother of two still travels the world with her husband and kids. But the hormone suppression therapy she takes to keep the cancer away makes her feel twice her age.
I feel like I'm 90, and I'm just 45 now.
Fatigue and other side effects she's enduring, hoping to be done in 5 years. Tonight, a new study in the New England Journal of Medicine suggests that may not be long enough. Though women were cancer-free after 5 years on the drugs, once they stopped, the risk of their estrogen-fueled cancer coming back remained, even 2 decades after diagnosis.
We know that people continue to be at risk at 5, 10, and 20 years.
The study found women with large tumors and cancer in 4 or more lymph nodes had a 40% risk of the cancer coming back. Those with low-grade cancers and no lymph node involvement had a 10% risk.
Go in.
Now Melita is talking to her doctor about staying on the drugs for 10 years, despite side effects like weight gain and hot flashes.
We need to discuss not only the side effects, but also what the chance of recurrence is.
Melita's goal is still the same.
I see my children, I see my husband, my family, and that's really all I need.
Lester, you are able to minimize some of the side effects, and one of the best ways is by moderate exercise, such as walking or yoga, and that's recommended for all breast cancer patients, no matter what kind of breast cancer they have.
Important to have the conversation with your doctor.
Absolutely.
All right, and thanks very much. Coming up, Christmas music is once again filling stores, but if you ever thought too much of it can drive you crazy, you might be right. If you live in the northern part of the country and you thought it was cold today, just wait. Frigid Arctic air will move into the Midwest tomorrow and Friday, then the Northeast through the weekend. Chicago is forecast to come close to a daily record low Friday morning with a forecast of 20 degrees. By Saturday morning, temperatures are expected to dip into the mid-20s in New York City. Winter is coming, and it's time to bundle up. Well, it is that time of year again. But if all that Christmas music in stores awakens your inner Grinch, there may be a scientific explanation. Too much can be bad for your mental health, according to a clinical psychologist who says it can stress you out by reminding you about all the shopping and planning you have to do. But there's a reason stores do it. Studies show festive music drives shoppers to buy more. Quite a scene at the courthouse today in Chicago. It's a pretty rare sight for a guy called for jury duty to arrive in a motorcade and walk in surrounded by the Secret Service. Former President Obama signing books and posing for photographs and going through the prospective juror drill before hearing those magic words, "You're dismissed." When we come back, she paid for college debt-free. Now she's passing her scholarship secrets on to you. Finally, it's college application season. Lots of families stressed out over paying for it all. But one student who doesn't come from money has done it without any loans, and she's sharing her scholarship secrets with you. Here's Katie Beck.
She's 28 years old and just months from a PhD.
I'm a nerd at heart.
But there's something Gabrielle McCormick will graduate without.
You don't have any debt.
No. I don't even know what the student loan application looks like.
She hoped athletic scholarships would pay for college. Impossible after a torn Achilles senior year. So with limited means, she explored other possibilities.
I mean, you can get a scholarship for contacts, for glasses.
For having red hair.
Yeah, for being over 5'10" as a female.
McCormick learned you can find a scholarship for almost anything, from playing video games and drawing birds to making your prom dress out of duct tape. She won money for good sportsmanship, even one from the folks who ran her high school cafeteria. After winning over $150,000 in college funding, Gabrielle is now working on her third degree while running her own company, Scholarship Informer.
I want you to have a strategy.
Teaching parents and students on how to avoid loans and debt. Her best piece of advice.
Make it about you. Find the opportunities. Look on social media. If you're an artist, utilize your artwork for your applications. It doesn't have to just be a boring essay. Make it fun.
Katie Beck, NBC News, Commerce, Texas.
We appreciate you spending part of your evening with us. That is Nightly News for this Wednesday night. I'm Lester Holt. For all of us at NBC News, thank you for watching and good night.